Last Sunday, this is the last Sunday before the birth of Christ, and if you follow the Advent, I guess this one was, I thought this one was supposed to be love, and I told Dale, I said, well, that's what we're going to go with, according to one that I looked at, that's what the this one today would be on the topic of God's love. And I just want to start out with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Somewhere, roughly 6,000 years ago, the worst possible thing that could happen, happened. Man chose to eat of the fruit and disobey God. And thus, in a moment, sometimes, I don't know if you ever wonder, sometimes you read the story and you wonder how long was it that God walked in the garden before they ate of the fruit? Or how long after they ate of the fruit until God came in the garden again? Those are the questions. We don't have the answers for those. Maybe someday we'll find that out. But one thing we know, that it wasn't long, and in an instant, peace was gone. Hope was gone. Peace, they hid. Hope was gone. What they didn't really, they may not necessarily had hope, and yet, in an instant, there was a loss of hope. All of us sitting here know what it feels like when we make the wrong choice. And Dale talked about that. That joy is gone. We can also, and how we choose to have joy. Declan is all into Pilgrim's Progress right now. And on the second book, it has where Christian's family is actually traveling to Celestial City, and Eli, the youngest of his brothers, sees this beautiful fruit, and he says, something that looks so good cannot be that bad. And he takes a bite of that fruit, and it was sweet. And he's like, see, I told you it had to be good. And then in an instant, it became terribly bitter in his stomach. That's what we find as Adam and Eve took of the fruit, the disobedience, and as we choose disobedience, it is very bitter. But today, we're not talking about hope, peace, and joy. We're talking about love, God's love. Hope, peace, and joy can all be changed, can all be determined by choices of man, but not God's love. God's love does not change, does not determine by the choices that you and I make. Sometimes I ask the question, why did God continue to love man? Why a second chance? Because that's who God is. God is love. Today I want to look at two parts of God's love. The first is the provisional part of God's love and how God came and restored that peace and joy, how he provided for a way for us to again have peace and joy, and again, a relationship with him, and we look forward to eternity with him. And the second part is going to be God's unconditional love to man. I don't know how many of you read this story on Facebook. I read it there, and it has actually been going through my mind since it was posted. I've read it a couple of times, and it's just been on my mind. It was a story about the girl that was kidnapped when she was about 5 years old by a delivery person, and it's this grandfather writing and his feelings that he was writing. He says, "I can't quiet my mind. I have to share this. A friend just asked me the other day if I believe God speaks to people. I happen to know he does, as he is speaking to me right now. The flesh, this man I am, is angry, and I want five minutes alone in the cell with the psycho that took our Atheno away from us, but there's a soft, gentle voice in the back of my head telling me I need to forgive him. This flesh man wants the psycho to burn in hell for all eternity, yet the gentle voice continues to tell me I need to forgive him. This flesh man hopes he remains blind and deaf to the message of salvation and never sets foot in the same heaven that I know my dear darling Athena resides in now, and yet the gentle voice persists. Why, you ask? Because hate is a powerful force that will take a root in your soul. God wants to protect us from that hate. Hate is the gateway for evil we see growing in the world today. If you stood that man before me right now because the hate that's trying to root itself in my mind, I would probably kill him. Then that hate would root itself in my heart and I would be destroyed. The gentle voice is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to me right now. He reminds me that my Savior Jesus willingly laid himself on a cross and died in my place to reconcile me to God the Father, but also that he did it for all of us, even this man that my flesh so hates at this very moment. I am a sinful man, yet I've heard this voice before, and I miss hearing this voice. If I allow this hate to consume me, that voice will fade and eventually be silenced. Then that ugly spirit of hate will have succeeded, and that's why this gentle voice persists, to tell me that I need to forgive this man. It's for my protection and peace. It's to set me free from this hate and allow me to continue to hear God's gentle voice. There's not 1 ounce of my flesh that wants to do this or say this, but my spirit has heard God's voice right now. While tears flood my eyes, I declare publicly that I forgive this man. Hate will not win. I hope my family will understand that I don't do this for the sake of this man. I do this for the sake of my family, myself, and the honor of the voice of God who has given me the strength to say this. I do this to honor our precious Athena who knew no hate. This man won't be allowed any real estate to live in my brain. He belongs to God, and God's justice will be done. Love conquers all and forgives. Today, I choose love, and hate loses." All of us can probably feel some of his, understand and feel some of what he's feeling, his frustration. And yet, if each one of us looks, you and I are this man, this delivery driver. Jesus hung on the cross, and it was yours and my sins that held him there. It was our sins that took the precious life of God's precious Son. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5, verse 6 and 9, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure a good man for some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come." And in John 15:13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." God's provisional love. It's exactly what Jesus did. As he hung there on the cross, as a thief called out to him, and he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." As Jesus looked at those men that nailed him to the cross and set the cross up, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." God's love doesn't change. God's love, even while we were sinners, was there for us. If you'll turn to Luke 15, starting at verse 11, Jesus told a story on the unconditional love that God has. He said, "There was a man had two sons, and the younger son of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out, one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And as he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and the shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son, who was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a younger goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes and killed the fattened calf, you have killed the fattened calf.'" "You killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Each one of us was that man that went astray. And we are found. No matter what we have done, does not God change how much God loves you? If you have gone astray, he's watching the road, waiting for you to come home. From the beginning of creation, all through Scripture, we see God's love. In Isaiah 54:10, it says this, "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee." Paul in the book of Romans was convinced of this: "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present or future or any powers, neither depth nor height or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love that God has in Christ Jesus." Makes me, as I was studying this, my mind kept going out to the song, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the skies a parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trait, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." So then, to end a little bit here, I ask myself, what is my response to God's love? Sometimes I look, as we look at the birth of Christ, for 400 years there was silence, and yet So many missed it when he came. I ask the question, so why did they miss it? What makes us miss the love of Christ? Often we make a plan and then we try to fit God's plan around it. We have it reversed. There is another story. It was a story of a cobbler written by Edwin Markham. Conrad lived in a European village over a century ago. According to the poem, Conrad had a dramatic dream in which Christ appeared to him and told him he was going to visit the shop the following day. The dream was so real that Conrad instinctively felt that it was more than an idle dream, but a sacred promise. He therefore got up early, swept his shop clean, made bread for the master, shined the shelves, placed holly on the rafters, and waited. Early after dawn, two friends came to see Conrad. He could not help but sharing the secret. They had known the old man for years and knew if anyone deserved a visit from the master, it would be he. His friends went home. His face grew still as he watched for the shadow across the sill. He lived at all the moments o'er when the Lord should enter the lowly door. The knock, the call, the latch pulled up, the lighted face, the offered cup. He would wash the feet where the spikes had been. He would kiss the hands where the nails went in. And then at last he would sit with him and break bread as the day grew dim. But the bastard did not come. Late in the morning, Conrad looked out his window and saw an old beggar with injured feet. Deeply moved by the man's plight, he called him to come in for shoes. The old man hobbled in, and Conrad made him a pair of fine shoes for his weary feet. Grateful that the Lord had not come during this time, Conrad bade the old man goodbye and cleaned up his shop and waited still the Lord did not come. At noon, Conrad heard a soft knock, and he rushed the door, thinking he was the Lord. But it was an old woman carrying a load of sticks. "Sir, I've heard you are a kind man. Could I have something to eat?" Irritated at the interruption, but too kind to turn her away, Conrad invited the old woman and gave her all that he had, the very bread he had baked for the master. Then after she had finished the meal, she asked him if he would help her carry the sticks to the edge of the village. Not wanting to leave the shop in case Jesus came, Conrad nevertheless tacked a hastily scrawled note on the door that told the master he would be right back. He then hurried the old woman to the edge of the village, gave her the sticks, and ran all the way back. He breathed a sigh of relief to see the note had not been disturbed and went inside to wait. But the master did not come. The afternoon passed and doubts began to creep into Conrad's heart. Then a soft rap was heard and Conrad's heart leaped within him. Then to his door came a child, lost and afraid in the world so wild, in the big dark world catching it up. He gave it milk in the waiting cup and led it home to its mother's arms, out of the reach of the world's alarms. Then rushing back to see if the note had been disturbed, Conrad was relieved to find it had not been touched. He sighed with relief that the master had not come while he was away, and he waited. The day went down in the crimson west, and with it the hope of the blessed guest. Conrad sighed as the world turned gray. "Why is it, Lord, that your feet delay? Did you forget that this was the day?" Then soft in silence, a voice he heard, "Lift up your heart, for I kept my word. Three times I came to your friendly door. Three times my shadow was on your floor. I was the beggar with bruised feet. I was the woman you gave something to eat. I was the child in the homeless street. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, you gave me something to eat, drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. In John 13:34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, so also love you one another." Jesus answered in John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him." This season, as we remember Jesus coming, as he came as a child, as a baby, but then also the purpose that he came for, the love through this season all the way till he died on the cross again, showing God's love to each one of us. May we take the moments, the chances that we have to look for opportunities to care, encourage, and share the good news with others this season. May we remember the birth of God's Son this season and thank Him often for His faithfulness and His continual love to us as mankind. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father hath lavished on us, that we could be called the children of God." Psalm 136:26 says, "O give thanks to the God of heaven, His love endures forever." May God bless each one of you this season as we celebrate the birth of God's Son. May we again give thanks often for His goodness to us. Scott, do you have a song? 122 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again this morning for Your great love. Again this season, as we remember Jesus coming to this earth as a baby, Your love that You have shown to mankind from the beginning of creation till now, and even to the end of the life here on earth. We look forward to being able to spend eternity with You. Help us as we go from day to day to be able to share that love to the people that we come in contact with. God, I just pray that You would be with each one here today. Bless their day. Thank You again for Your love and the freedom we have to look into Your word and be encouraged, and the freedom we have to worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.